Hello, and welcome into episode 9 of Bourbon and Bad Opinions, where what we're drinking is better than what we're thinking. I'm Carrie. As always, I'm joined by Rob,
hey.
John,
what?
Chad, Sean.
Yo.
What's
yo.
Up, y'all? What's going on?
What up?
Not much.
It's a decent day here in Lexington, Kentucky.
Sunshine.
Yeah, awesome. Not too bad. It's better than it was yesterday, which was just rain and kind of miserable. But
yesterday was a really good day to see Black Panther.
Yeah, it could have been.
It was.
Sunny African weather.
Yeah, it absolutely was. Yeah.
People in native garb, I think you would have liked it.
Yeah, definitely.
Dashikis all around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh, dashikis.
Today was just a tease to spring.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it was.
It feels like spring. It smells like spring. The sun was out. It just makes you wish it was April and we were all at Keeneland.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Ooh, we're going to take an episode to
Keeneland. Oh, that's a good idea.
Well, actually, you know, I mean, I've been thinking about, you know, doing a tailgate episode. That would be fun. Wow. Like where we're out in the parking lot. That would be super fun.
Yeah.
It's called Uber afterwards.
There you go. Either way, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Absolutely. So how y'all doing? Good.
I'm doing all right.
Yeah. Okay.
Doing all right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
I had some beer earlier.
I'll just plug my other show, Girls Beer Sports. We did have our 100th episode today.
Woo!
100.
Technically 100. We're calling it 100 because it's our show. We do what we want. But we had it at Mirror Twin. And again, I cannot shout out, God bless you, Derek, enough at Mirror Twin. He's the owner, head brewer at Mirror Twin. He made us our own beer, GBS 100. It's a brown ale with chocolate and orange. It's very reminiscent of those Smash Orange candies.
How much
candies.
Did he make? Just small batch or like actually put enough to like do a half barrel?
John, did you ask him? I don't know.
We talked about it extensively, but I did not ask him the amount that was actually made. It's a brown ale. His whole point was to do like the orange smash chocolate candies or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's...
He achieved it.
Yeah. It was a brown ale. There was chocolate. There was orange. It's one of those things that I thought it was...
Is that Toblerone that does the orange and the chocolate?
Well, Terry.
I think it's Terry.
There's a Terry. There's an English company and a couple of others.
You're right.
But it... we couldn't put our finger on the one that we'd tried before when we had the candies, but it's one of a lot of those. It was so close to that it's one of those things that I didn't think you could drink a whole lot of them because it was sort of sweet and sort mm-hmm. of
right.
I would agree with that.
Chocolatey,
yeah.
Orangey, that kind of thing.
But
it was good.
When we talked about it, he asked me what kind of beer I wanted, and I said, honestly, it's whatever you want to make. I wanted to make sure it was something he could sell, ultimately, you know, that's what we want. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very kind of him to even suggest making us a beer. And he's like, well, I've been wanting to try this. And I'm like, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely hit the orange and the chocolate. There was a little coffee. It was good. But as John said, I don't know if I would want to drink that all
day.
Sure,
yeah.
But for just one, it hit the flavor. It was, you know, as far as what the beer was, you knew what you were getting with the orange and the chocolate.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the flavors came through.
It hit the flavor profile on point.
Yeah,
yes, it did.
Absolutely got what he wanted out of it, and you know, I was super happy with it. I was extremely happy. Couldn't have been happier. So great. Here we are, and you know, I did a show. Couple of shows back where I pre-gamed, I guess, a little bit.
So we're waiting.
We're going to see how this goes. Although I feel like I'm in a better spot today than I was then. The Steelers did lose.
That's fair. That was too much.
But I'm going to tell you right now, okay, we've got a couple mini things going on the table here. So we have an open bottle. We have, well, I guess it's open, but it's not open. Another bottle. And then we have Girl Scout cookies, which, thank you, Chad.
What up, Girl Scouts?
That's right. Chad hooking up the Girl Scouts.
Can we get a sponsorship from the Girl Scouts of America?
No kidding. Right there.
They're busy trying to fend off the elves taking over their market.
You're right.
Yes.
They got no free cash.
So, okay. So the bourbon we're currently drinking in the glass.
Yes. It is Amador Whiskey Company. It's a double barrel bourbon. It's Kentucky bourbon finished with Napa Valley wine barrels. Their tagline is born in Kentucky, raised in California. It's actually pretty good. I discovered this from, I was at the Kroger liquor store, which there are many in Lexington, and trying to pick up something for the show, and this fellow, we struck up a conversation as bourbon drinkers do, and he says, have you tried this? I said, no, and he gave me the whole backstory. It seems to be that the fellow that runs this part of the family business went to UK.
Huh.
And so, and now he's back in California, and I was doing some research on the internet. They took 300 bottles back and then aged it after it got there, aged it. And
barrels, not bottles.
Bottles,
right?
Sorry, bro. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, you know, I'm sorry, a little bro. Sleepy. I was beer drinking earlier.
You pre-gamed.
I did. So barrels, 300. The age is somewhere between 3 to 10 years,
yeah.
And so what they could find. So we're just kind of a nice blend that they then double barreled in the wine. So it's pretty good.
Well, and I'm all about the anything aged in the wine barrel. Love it. Love it. The cask, the Groth that. Casks, any of that. I got a 1792 in there that's a Groth cask that is, I really like.
Well, that's how we got to talking about it, because I was looking at the 1792 in a Jefferson's Ocean, and he said, hey, have you tried this? It's kind of got the same things going on with it, and it's cheaper.
It's the Jefferson's like, that's in the Groth, and 1792 is
a
port.
Yeah.
Okay, port. Yeah. Either way, I like
good stuff.
I like the wine barrel aged stuff.
The one that, another MGP product that they do, that they send out to High West. High West does one, and it's really nicely marketed. It's called a Midwinter's Night Dram, and they've done like several acts in series of that, and it's really cool. Cool looking little bottle, and it's great. It's,
yeah, it just brings a sweetness to it, like an extra sweetness to it that I really, really, really like in any of those kind of wine-aged barrel bourbons.
Yeah,
that
this Amador is quite drinkable. It's quite pleasant.
Definitely.
Soft, sweet. Yeah, and I'm wondering if what wine barrel it was. To me, it kind of has a Zinfandel-y taste. I'm not sure. Do they say what it is?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's a red. It seems like it's, no, because it doesn't have that kind of deep sweetness. Because a lot of the Groth and those kind of things that are more reds tend, I think personally, in my opinion, tend to have like more of a sweetness.
Really? So you should get more tannic taste.
Yeah.
A little sharper.
And this doesn't necessarily.
Yeah.
So it doesn't say on the bottle? It
doesn't say on the bottle.
Huh.
It says Napa Valley wine barrels.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was more of like a white
mystery barrel.
Mystery barrel. Yeah.
Kind of judging by the color of it, you might be right.
Yeah.
I was thinking it'd be a little
Yeah, because it is.
It's a late harvest Riesling. It pairs well with like some Edam cheese and a foot rub.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Hey, you know, I'll take it.
I like it.
I'll take it. Sure. Why not?
Just a little sous on it.
So also on the table, we have Duke, the John Wayne bourbon, which Rob brought in. I'd seen this at Liquor Barn several times. I'm a John Wayne fan. I like John Wayne movies.
Yeah.
We'll have to sample it, but I know, Rob, you tried a little bit of it, didn't you?
I had a little bit of a flavor. I compared it to a Jack Daniels or a Jim Beam. I've had this bottle at the house for a while. It was out today. I was kind of surprised at the price point for the bottle itself. It was somewhere around $45 at the Liquor Barn. Then I saw it again in another place for about $29, which seemed, you know, about appropriate, but at $45, I was like, whoo, that's a lot for this for what I thought it was. But we'll get to it a little bit later.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm interested to try it because, like I said, I've seen it on the shelves.
I think it's kind of marketed itself as a little bit like more like a Bullet Frontier whiskey. So the bottle's very sort of similar. It's got a longer neck, but it's like the narrow, long bottle with a very long neck on
right.
it. I think that's the market that they were going for as far as the people that were looking to buy it.
I wonder if any of our tens of fans remember Rappin' Duke. I know Sean does. Do you remember that?
I remember Rappin' Duke.
And there you go. There's your musical interlude for this episode.
I don't know what just happened there.
Yeah. North Side?
John's representing.
Oh, we listened to that a lot.
There you go.
Somewhere I have it on the tape.
Because you are from North Side, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's true. I was north of somewhere.
Rob,
we didn't do that.
Rob, I was gonna say Rob was not north side. Rob was Dunbar.
No, he's Creek, right?
That's Creek.
Oh, yeah. Creek. That's Center right. Parkway. Creek. Sorry, I apologize.
Right.
Oh, I know. I apologize. You were Creek. I am so sorry. I am sorry.
Rappin' Duke.
So the Girl Scout cookies we got on the table. We got the peanut butter patties. We got
also known as what? Like, is it tagalongs?
Tagalongs, I think.
It's tagalong.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. We got the Samoas.
Thin mints.
Samoas.
Oh, caramel delights, whatever. Yeah.
Samoas.
Yeah.
And thin mints, which everybody's favorite, thin mints. Right?
Yeah,
you got to have the thin mints.
Least favorite.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Now, see, the problem with that is that for a thin mint, okay, these are all
a Thin Mint, 9 ounces of Thin Mint versus 7 ounces of Caramel Delight, and
I was getting to that.
Oh, that is total ripoff.
It's the density.
For the same price, Thin Mints, yeah. your ounce per dollars, Thin Mints are the better buy.
Oh, they for sure are.
Clearly the better buy. This is what people should be taught from an early age. The rest of this is a money trap.
It's a lot of dead air in a box.
Thin Mints, people.
But Thin Mints taste like candy canes and feet.
Yes.
Right?
Put them in the freezer. They're good.
Right, but on sheer density alone, Thin Mints.
Oh, my God. We are going to get a visit from the school. The Girl Scouts.
I'm so scared right now.
I'm scared.
Shout out to Wilderness Road.
That's right. Much love. Wilderness Road. Much love. Yes. Much love.
Girl, I'm going to have to go with John on this. I like both Caramel Delights and Thin Mints, but per dollar, per cookie, Thin Mints is where it's at. If you want to be economical, you're going with Thin Mints.
Girl Scout Mafia, you know.
They came in the system.
The
here.
Peanut butter sandwiches. You get two cookies and a peanut butter filling.
Mm. I'd have to review the packaging on that to determine.
That would go good with some red Kool-Aid, right? Or,
yeah, I think that's
what I call it growing up. We didn't have flavors.
Drink.
Yeah.
Yeah,
purple good. Drink.
Yeah. Lord, we are venturing into a whole other podcast on that. The purple drink.
Interestingly enough, nobody's opened the Girl Scout cookies. I'm shocked by that.
You guys we can.
Have some willpower.
Let's do it. I'm all about the Samoas, yo. I'm pairing something with something over here.
The Samoas, yo.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's where we're at now. Okay, so let's get into some other bourbon topics. First of all, a little housekeeping thing here. Of course, you can always, we are exclusive, 100% exclusive to 12 Ounce Sports Radio. And I highly, highly, highly recommend going to check them out because all kinds of different programming going on there. Democracy Now!, Us, Big Blue Views, Round of Shots is on there. Shout out to Kevin Hale. On Round of Shots, Scout Team Sports.
Not to interrupt, but that sound of yours is Rob stuffing away to still open up all the packaging, and it sounds so loud.
It didn't work. It didn't work.
He went down the street. Yeah. He's back then.
Either way. But now we have Samoas on. But yeah, 12 Ounce Sports Radio, man. Just check it out because I can't emphasize this enough. It's like, you know, people are like, oh, Sirius XM or whatever. No, internet radio is where it's at, man. I'm telling you what, because
true.
You don't, there's no subscription. You don't have to pay anything for it. Sirius XM, you got to pay, right? You pay monthly. And there's a lot of really great independent radio going on, blogs, independent stuff going on this internet radio that costs you nothing. You just download the app or just, you know, tune in is the app that 12 Ounce Sports is on, and you can hear us, you can hear Girls Beer Sports, like I said, you can hear all kinds of different opinions, and you know, nobody's afraid to say anything because hell, we're not beholden to any sponsors. All we'd right. like to be.
But we would love some sponsors.
We'd love to be, but at this point, you know, screw it. We're saying what we want.
We're probably not getting the Keebler folks. I think I've offended them a couple times.
No, I think
you've also the Girl Scouts.
The Girl Scouts are done. We're not getting the Girl Scouts either.
No, you're shanked.
I don't believe that Charles Schulz and his group's going to help me out either.
Charles Schulz is dead.
Well, somebody owns the rights to Peppermint Patty and they ain't happy.
Well, she's just a saying. Bitch, so whatever.
True that. Eat a peanut butter patty and be happy, man.
That's right. But no, I can't emphasize it. Go check out 12 Ounce Sports Radio. And shout out to Jeff, who runs 12 Ounce Sports Radio, because he works his tail off. He really does. He works really hard to secure shows and content and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, can't say that enough. All right, so let's talk about some more bourbon-related things. So there's been a store here in Lexington, a brick and mortar store that has opened, and we'll call it a vintage upscale bourbon shop, and it's called Justin's House of Bourbon, and they deal in
hard to acquire spirits.
Bourbons, high end bourbons, right? Your higher end stuff that you hear about on this show, or I don't know,
it's typically hard to find.
Well, it's vintage. So that then, by definition, really, it's more the rare kind of thing, and that maybe is a little more expensive.
Right. The bottom line is, when I saw this, when I saw this article in the Herald Leader, which nobody reads, but
I do every morning.
Well, lost our Herald Leader sponsorship.
Do you have a subscription, sir?
Yes, sir, I do.
Oh, wow.
Personally?
I go outside every morning and pick it up.
The
God.
Last
You're the one.
Bastion.
You're the one.
You are the last bastion.
They don't even print that in this town anymore.
I know. It's print dreaded place to the west of us.
You know what they do print? Wall Street Journal, and that's what I get in my driveway. They do. Isn't that funny? They print the Wall Street Journal at the Herald Leader.
Yeah, it comes in a digital file. They spit it on the printers and put it out.
I sure do. And but anyway, so when I saw this in the Herald Leader, I was like, man, I don't know how this is going to work, because I don't know how many people know this. If you're in the bourbon community, I know Chad's in the bourbon community. John is in the bourbon community.
The rest of us just drink it.
Chad and John are really kind of in the bourbon community. And there's this whole kind of online community of people. You know, it's like anything else, right? I mean, it's like anything else that we... Rob, it would be like the Funko that you collect.
There's online Funko.
Right. Yeah. And Rob is, Rob is on a whole nother level.
It's its own crazy collecting thing.
That's going to be
like
a topic
everything else. Yeah.
Yes. But still, it would be similar to that.
I had no idea until this man showed me that collection last.
It's insane.
A couple days ago.
It's insane.
There's a few pops.
No words.
Good man.
It's insane. But the bottom line is, you know, there's all kinds of, you can collect anything, right?
Yeah.
It just happens to be that you two, Chad and John, collect bourbon, and there's this whole kind of online community where you talk and trade and buy and whatever. And to me, this brick and mortar store is trying to bring that community up into the forefront, and I don't know how I feel about that, because I'm not necessarily in the community. I know about the community, right? I feel like that, again, it's
a... Sound like we're like some secret society.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're...
It's like Facebook right there.
Yeah, right. But you're not a secret society, but it's, I mean... There's a culture.
Don't show them the handshake, John. Do not show them the handshake.
I mean, do you understand what I'm getting at, though? I mean, there's kind of just a culture built around it where you all have kind of your thing that you do, and if you bring it into a brick and mortar, is there a negotiation? Is there kind of like a, you know, this camaraderie thing? You just have people coming off the street saying, "I want that, and I'm going to pay whatever it takes." You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's weird to me.
I don't think that these guys are trying to build a community. I think they're seizing on a market opportunity, right? They're taking advantage of Kentucky's newly passed law about vintage spirits and those kind of things, and they're whaling. They've got things that people only hear about, but who aren't. Don't have the means or the access, or don't particularly care. They have too much money where they don't have to care to go online and try to find these things.
Yeah,
and they can, you know, it's going to be big for Keeneland, those kind of things, because there's not a whole lot going on in downtown Lexington.
Yeah,
going in and say, hey, while I'm here, hey, I can pick up a bottle of Pappy, even if I'm paying $1,800. If I've got the wherewithal to do it, then what the hell?
The other thing that I would say is, you know, for the brick and mortar, you can go in, you can see the stock, you can see the bottle. It's like, let's just, with any other thing that you collect, me being able to physically have that in front of me so I can inspect it, things like that, makes a big difference to me wanting to buy it, because I don't know what I'm getting online if I don't know the person that's selling it to me. They could have repackaged it and put in anything that they really wanted to. So it makes a difference to me in that
sense. That has happened. There have been cases of that happening. It's very, 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 very fringe. But yeah, you're right. It's if I can look at it and I can tangibly see it and particularly... Hey, I think this is going to look great. I've seen some pictures of it online, but I see how this looks. Like the Johnny Fitzgerald that came out a few years ago. That's a beautiful wooden box with this little old Stitzel Weller bottle in it. It's gorgeous, and they've got those down there too. And you see it, and you're like, man, I've got to have that on my bar.
Yeah.
Well, so we went Friday evening to Bourbon on Rye downtown Lexington.
Highly recommend.
And it's they have this whole area of shelves that are all locked up with these super ornate these super ornate locks. And the first time we were there, they had 3 or 4 bottles. Now they have a bunch. And honestly, I enjoyed looking at the bottles. Yeah. I would go to this vintage store for the same thing. I would go to look at the bottles, see the bottles, kind of see what's out there and all that kind of stuff. A couple of things that I think is, I'm not sure that with the newly passed law, I still think it's a wild, wild west, so that you could be burned on bottles that aren't what they say they are. And I'm not sure that these folks... they're buying what they were told or what they believed are quality bottles based on people that are doing the right thing and that kind of thing, but you still could get burned. So it is what it is. But it's the big thing to me is I don't know how many people are going to do that. How many people are going to go to a place and spend $3,000 to $4,000 on a bottle, or you know, $1,500 on a bottle that they wanted to find. And even if you did go into the bourbon communities, and in many ways, when you do sell, you have to have references. You have to have somebody that says, yes, I vouch for this person. Because they'll ask you questions. Where did you get the bottle? How do I know it's not fake? If it's Pappy, you got to pull out a stupid ruler. You got to have all these things, and you got to do all this crap, and you got to answer Pappy all and these rulers? Questions.
it's a whole oil. Thing. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I just
don't know that it's going to be long-term. Right. Like, you right. don't
How viable is it?
Yeah. You don't get know. People walking in off a street going, I think I am going to pull the trigger on a $4,000 bottle.
We would probably all go down just to go look at it because we're bourbon aficionados. I think it's more kind of a tourist thing.
Yeah.
Get the two seasons of Keeneland.
Yep.
UK basketball games.
Yes, and then football games, and people are wandering around there downtown. And I think that's what they're counting on, because none of us are going
to
go down
there. Keep in mind, too, they've got things that will appeal to people like us who have normal wages, right? Yeah, they actually do their own barrel picks.
Yeah.
The guys are heavily networked and heavily involved in the bourbon community. One of them, Justin Sloan, is one of the founding members, I think, of the Bourbon Mafia. So these guys are actually, they know the material. They know what they've gotten into. Whether or not it's a viable platform long term, right? Who's to say?
I don't know.
I think, like you're saying, Father's Day, graduations, things like that. You're looking for a special bourbon. They're going to have it. And it's readily available if you go downtown. So I think, you know, I don't know how long it'll last, but I don't see anything wrong with having a place where you can buy it, having that market available to everyone. I mean, because the internet, you can, like I said, but some people aren't comfortable. And with all the situations that's gone on with the Craigslist and things like that, you know, you don't know what you're putting yourself into.
Yeah.
Sure. So I feel that it's a safe way to get this done.
Yeah, and online, I mean, you have to have like PayPal or Venmo and things like that. And some people just, they like cash or writing a check or a credit card, right? Yeah.
That's true, too, that I'm going to a well-lighted place downtown as opposed to
somebody's street corner, their safe car.
Meet me on Thoroughbred Avenue, and we're going to...
Right.
I can see that, but I just... And here's my bad opinion. Here's a bad opinion on this, I guess. I just kind of see it as they're a sucker's game. Like, there's people coming off the streets who have no idea what anything costs, and they just see the label and the bourbon, and they're just going to pay whatever.
Oh, sure, and there's definitely some of that, because there's a huge market out there that still has neither had Pappy nor held it or seen it. And they might, I don't know what the cost is, but this is an amazing thing because I'm a really wealthy broker, and I can take this back to my clientele, and I look good. I've got a customer I want to take care of.
Yeah. No, and it's exactly. I've lost my train of thought on that one.
But isn't, as you just said, isn't that what brought us to this point? This idea that, the coolest, the hottest, best thing is Pappy, so I've got to have it no matter what it costs me. That's what's caused all these people... And I hate to single out New York, but everybody in New York's buying all this Pappy.
Yep.
And they're buying all this bourbon because they want to be the dude that has the Maserati and has the Golden Doodle or whatever. And now you've got this bottle of Pappy, and I'm the coolest thing.
Golden Doodles. Yep. That's a mutt. Like,
it's a status symbol to the point where that's what... If you have disposable income to the point where you can walk in off the street and say, I've got $7,000, I don't give a damn, then knock yourself out.
Like Louis Trey and all those things too, right?
It's just all about the market. Yeah.
No, I think that's, and for me, that's fine. If you want to spend the money, if you're willing to be overcharged, that's on you. And if you want to give it away or it becomes a prestige item, you know, it would have been like a Cuban cigars back in the day, things like that. You know, it gets
soon
you
to be again, by the way.
It
again,
gets you to where you need to go in some sense. So, you know, it's fine.
All right. Okay. Well,
you
I mean,
do you, boo.
Oh, Jesus. all right. Well, I mean, I'm going to be interested to see how it goes. Yeah. I really am. And I will. I'll probably stop down there just to look and kind of see what they have. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know who probably won't stop in there because he has no idea what he's talking about is Justin Timberlake. So let's talk about that.
JT.
Jesus. God.
He is from Tennessee.
Man.
Come on,
I don't care. I don't care. Okay. So for those of you who don't know, Justin Timberlake did an interview with, was it GQ?
Men's
or Vanity Fair? One of
those. It was some magazine. Like one of those fashion magazines, whatever, that nobody reads. And they asked him, like, what he was drinking or something like that.
Yeah.
And he says that, he likes Blanton's from Montana. And honestly, most people in Kentucky lost the damn minds. Even people who don't drink bourbon lost the damn minds. Because even people who don't drink bourbon know that Blanton's does not come from Montana. And he's like, I like Montana whiskey. I like Blanton's.
Maybe he's got special Blanton's.
Here's the thing. Here's my opinion on this. I honestly think that he doesn't drink, and he was just trying to look like he knew what he was talking about. And he literally had no idea. And that's what I think. I think he doesn't drink. I don't think he doesn't drink. He doesn't drink bourbon. And he just kind of like was pulling stuff out of his ass, honestly.
Could be. I know Buffalo Trace is reaching out to him quite hard on social media, trying to get his people to talk to their people. If they actually get him in here and he actually does a barrel pick and they have a Justin Timberlake barrel pick, that thing will be
instant
gold. Oh, it'll be thousands and thousands.
So, what did you all think of that? I mean, what did you all think of the whole thing?
Of the same mind as you. He didn't really drink bourbon. He strikes me as more of a tequila kind of person. and he just, somebody asked him a question and he heard some of his boys sitting around talking about bourbon and living in Montana, and he conflated the two. And judging by that Super Bowl performance, there's some problems with it. So I think I agree with you. He just didn't know what he was talking about and should have shut up.
I agree. And either that or he, conflated Buffalo Trace and, all those traces that are
Buffalo's Montana. Buffalo's are in Montana. Oh, the traces in Montana.
I'm going to be a little more cynical on this, and I'm going to say he knew exactly what he's doing. He's got a concert coming up here, and it was in the Courier. It was played out. Like Chad said, this is going to lead to some, let's go on some bourbon tours. Let's take you to some distilleries. Let's hype this up a little bit. Not that he really needs, more marketing to sell his tickets. But come on. It's bourbon. It's Kentucky. If you're in Tennessee, you know what those are. It's a game.
He says, and I quote, I mean that when asked what bourbons he's drinking. I mean that depends. I think with whiskey, if I'm in Montana, I want a Montana whiskey like Blanton's or something like that. Anytime you get your hands on a Pappy, that's always like, I know, that may seem even trendy now. I hope it doesn't become like hipster bourbon because it's really good, but... And then he pauses. Beam and Makers is always a good one to go to.
See, that
that's when he lost me.
That tells me.
Four that's words.
He knows nothing.
Pappy, Blanton's, Beam and Makers.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And I'm not saying he doesn't drink it, but if I'm in Montana, I want a Montana bourbon like Blanton's,
But
I'm
see, done. that quote right there, that whole quote tells me that he literally had no idea what he's talking about. He's probably never drank Blanton's, and he's heard of Pappy. He's heard the word Pappy. He's heard the word Blanton's.
He called Mila Kunis up before and said, what's
his Matthew McConaughey.
JT's out there. Listen, I still love you, bro. I hope you're taking best friend applications because I want to kick it with you.
Yeah.
Don't let these words that these people are spitting out hurt you.
He needs to call Matthew McConaughey.
A Royal Rumble. JT, Matthew McConaughey, and Mila Kunis, and let's see who wins.
Matthew.
I don't know, man.
Mila could bring it.
Well, she could probably fight dirty. Bad Moms movie.
But yeah. The man plays Bongos naked in front of the cops. Yeah. He ain't scared of nobody.
No, that's sad. Yeah. No, I just think it just the way the story is, the way he's coming to Kentucky, I just feel that there's enough smart people around all of these people that it's a game to me.
But I think that it's enough of a game. The fact that somebody told him these brands, and they were like, "You need to mention these brands," and they never told him the context.
I could see that
he might be fishing for a sponsorship.
We're fishing for a sponsorship.
We are fishing.
I don't think somebody told him that, or else they would have had a more refined message. No. I think this is only what he knew of himself, and those are three or four different brands that are in the national knowledge or whatever. I mean, if you think about those three.
I feel like those I feel like that, like a Makers, a Beam, like Jack, those are, to me, are in the collective consciousness of most people. I don't feel like that a Blanton's is probably in the collective consciousness. I could be wrong on that. I feel like that's more like a localized thing.
All right.
It's not actually, but I get your point, right? It was huge. It was really probably the first really craft sought after bourbon because of it, like the single barrel nature. Right. And it was huge in Japan, before it ever became big here. So it does have a storied legacy, but I think Justified really blew up the Pappy thing, too.
That's true.
And I'm sure he would know about that. I think he's played in that same celebrity golf tournament that the head sheriff guy or the head marshal did.
Nick Searcy.
Which makes sense.
So if Buffalo Trace is successful at reaching out to him, if he comes in, he and his people, they do a barrel pick, Will you ever see the bottle, and what will happen to the bottle if it happens?
It'll have the gold sticker on it. It'll say Montana, right?
You should come on this podcast.
That's right. That's right. That's right. The Montana pick.
Yeah. You put a buffalo on it and
call it Montana. Yeah.
If that happens, I hope. I mean, if it does, knock yourselves out. I just hope it goes to charity or something, and it's not like he's the only one drinking it.
True.
Sure,
that's a good point.
That is a good point.
Because you're right. You're not going to see it at Kroger.
If he could do the same thing what they did with that that OFC 1870 or whatever it was, like do something like that for charity, they could make a mint for a good charity. That's a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
JT, I hope you're listening, buddy.
There you go. Heard it here first.
College.
That's right. Take your penis out of the box and go to a couple distilleries. Check it out.
Patent pending. Patent pending on that idea, gentlemen. Let me tell you. And we like in on that. So, let us know.
I just take a sample. The Trace, Buffalo Trace been hurting. They need some cash.
They didn't hit an infusion.
Just a tip. That's what she said. I think that covers our bourbon topics for this week. We're done. We're out. All right. Let me hit the music. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So, this weird, bizarre story came across my purview, and Sean saw it, and we ended up like kind of texting it to everybody. Freaking Disneyland super fan gang thing.
This is awesome.
This is insane. This is insanity to me. All right. So, for those who haven't seen it or don't know the story or whatever, so it's a lawsuit, actually.
Yes.
It's a lawsuit. So,
alleging intimidation.
Yeah. Who cares about the lawsuit, honestly? Because the actual story here to me is these gang, like these people, okay?
And your social clubs, Carrie, not gangs.
Okay, all right, whatever. Social clubs.
Next thing you know, you'll be calling all like the
sort of the Hell's Angels. Posse
people like gangs, too.
Yeah, I know. Well,
calling the FBI on them. We see how that goes. Whoop.
Boots in politics, baby. We ain't even getting into that. North side. All right, so these social clubs or whatever, this is people who are ate up with Disney, like ate up
from the flow up it
with Disney.
Scary.
No, they have not. Hold no, on, Rob. Hold on, no, hold on. I read. Hold on, I'm hold on Rob. Hold on, hold on, hold
jump
on.
The
hold on. they have denim vests with the patches and all that stuff. Like, and we're talking like okay, like names like the Tigger Army, Neverland Mermaids. I mean, just like. All kinds of different.
Yeah, there were probably, it looked to be about 50 to 100 different social clubs that go there on a
easily,
regular basis.
On a regular.
Yeah. And
Hell's
but these
angels.
Things aren't really surprising in our culture, right?
No.
I was in a Kiss Army growing up, right?
Yeah, no.
The Pitbull Harry fan club and,
but see,
and the bronies. Come on. I mean, it's like,
Well, you I'm in
the bronies, by the way.
I'm in X-File. X-P-H-I-L-E, right? But yeah. I don't have like a freaking denim vest and go to, I don't know.
This is but the social.
So
the
basically
social
we should be questioning your level of commitment then, right?
Yeah.
Like how much of an X-File are you?
That's a different podcast.
I will come across
it. I will cut you.
I will come at you like a spider monkey right now. Right now. No. The thing of it is like they go to the parks and in packs and they try to take over the rides and stuff like that. Like their whole goal is like to get everybody on there. I don't know. It's insanity to me.
Well, the thing for me, it's a Southern California culture thing with the social clubs, with the vests and things like that. So that didn't particularly bother me. What I thought was the most hilarious was this, I'm going to take over the ride. So we're going to get all of our people to stand in line. And this is like an achievement.
Right.
Is for all of our social club to ride on some little thing that swings around and you've done great work there for the day. I like the social aspect of it, getting together with your friends on the weekend. You get to talk about Tigger or Star Wars or whatever, but you're taking yourself too serious when your job is to take over the ride.
John is about to speak.
Everyone else stands in line. The only thing you accomplished was to do so together.
Right.
It's stupid. I mean, big deal. You rode the ride, and you did it with people you don't know in matching clothes. This is people do this at family reunions year after year after year.
This is true.
How is this different?
This is like IBM Day at King's Island.
Well, remember those little social clubs we had back in the day in high school? And those girls, you didn't cross them.
That's right.
But, I mean...
I'm with you, Carrie. I found it kind of, let's just want to say, stupid. And I understand in this day and age with everything online why people would do it.
Yeah.
Because they all started, but it was like, And then the adult part of me said, don't you have something else to do or socially? And yes, I am knocking somebody's hobby because I think it's not a good hobby. It's kind of stupid. I'm sorry. But what got me was a lawsuit.
Yes. Go ahead. Talk about the lawsuit.
Mafia-like topics from like one of the largest social clubs are trying to extort $500 from one of the smaller ones to protect their fundraiser. I'm like, you're at Disney. Come on now. The police are not going to let anything happen at Disney.
Yeah.
And that was just too much for me. I lost it at that point. I couldn't read anymore, and I had to send it off to my friends at this table.
Yeah, it was, and it's $500. That's a horrible extortion racket. If you're going to extort, do better.
That's a federal crime for $500. Come on, people.
No,
And let me tell you, as a federal crime, you will learn what gangs are if you get convicted.
80% of your time you have to serve.
How does that play out in the penal system, right? The skinhead. Yo, I was in the Disney Mafia.
Yeah. Okay.
Tinkerbell's toys.
I would just like to say the squeaking that you hear in the background is Bacon with her wubba, and she is trying to play, and she just
We're
not having it.
She's trying to take.
But yeah, I don't know. I think my whole problem with it is I don't like Disney. I don't care for Disney.
Word, second that.
Yeah, I'm not honestly, a friend of the mouse either.
I do not. I don't care for Disney. I've never cared. Honestly, okay. This is Disney. There's a book out there. Look it up. I don't know if it's out of print or what. It was published in the 90s. It's called The Mouse Betrayed. And it basically talks about everything that Disney does is literally on the absolute, like, you're talking about people getting murdered in their park and covering it up. I mean, it's just,
I think
like,
they take them out, don't they? So it never, nothing bad ever happens.
No,
they take
nothing
them,
bad yeah, ever so happens at Disney. Exactly.
So, yeah. I can see that. I can't hate Disney because they apparently own my entire childhood. So I'm just,
Star
I'm
Wars,
bought,
the whole Star Wars.
Star
thing,
Wars,
yeah.
Marvel. I bought into
it
all.
Marvel. It's them on lease.
Right? I guess I just don't. And again, you got to do something. You got to have a hobby, which is fine. I guess I just don't get this whole, like, I mean, these people are eight up with Disney.
Here's the thing about Disney is, like, you can go have a nice vacation in Europe for what you could spend for a week.
Oh, you ain't lying on that?
Disney World. Yeah, no. It's like, I mean, a nice week in
Europe. Hell, you could go to Justin's House of Bourbon and buy a good bottle of bourbon.
A lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
Damn
you
right.
All that Montana Buffalo Trace product you can get.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you ain't lying. So speaking of insanity, and just why would you do this? All right. So there's these people who bought a boat, this couple. All right. I think they're in their 20s, which is fine, whatever, man. Yeah. You know? And I love that song. You can buy me a boat. You can buy me a truck to pull it. Yeah. You can buy me a Yeti cooler, ice down with some silver bullets.
Seconds.
Love that song. Yeah. Love that song. Hey, that's less than 30 seconds. But no, you know, so they buy this boat because they're going to sail the world, and that's what they're going to do with their dog, you know, their pug or whatever they had. And they have no sailing experience. They didn't bother to take sailing lessons. I think they spent like $5,500 on the boat or something like that, and was a 1960s was built in.
It was fine. It was 50 years.
Yeah, it was an
because
old boat.
Honestly, it's fine. And like boats don't age like cars because I think you know whatever. But the bottom line is you've got to know how to sail a boat. It's not like driving a car, man. It's just not right. So they spend their life savings on this boat. They sell everything. They buy this boat to sail around the world, and they sink it on day two.
But, you know, there's a saying, it's called fail fast, right? What a better place to fail, right? It's better than failing out to sea.
Yeah, no, that
least,
is,
they
that's
made
true.
It back to the shore. That's how close
they were. They were rescued.
Yeah.
To the tune of $10,000.
Yeah. You know, for me on this, they're chasing some dreams. They're young. Everybody, I buy into that. But have some experience and learn what you're going to do.
Sure, you've got to take the water seriously.
Yeah, maybe you go down there to the coast and you learn for a year or two how to sail, how to navigate, figure out the coastal because apparently the sands move around and that's
they
what
do.
Happened. They
got
a beach.
They do.
So learn a little bit about that. Take a couple years and learn it, and then go on your great voyage. If you don't have the experience, don't mess with the sea. The sea is always going to win.
They didn't invent the astrolabe for nothing.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
It's a big difference between smoking reefer and sitting on the beach and drinking margaritas and actually getting on a boat and actually trying to navigate the seas.
Well, and it's like, that's the dream. Is like, oh, I'm going to chuck it all and I'm going to live like Robin Leach on, you know, the like high seas.
Or Jimmy Buffett or something.
And, it's, and then you realize, well, I'm going to buy a 50-year-old boat and, well, we may not know what we're doing. And then you got a pug. I don't bring the pug into it.
That the pug
dog,
lived.
The pug that, lived. That that's the only thing they say is food and toys.
That dog and didn't dog. Ask for this. It's got no grass. There's no chance. Even if it worked out, it had no chance. But again, I mean, do your homework. If you're going to make any large purchase, even if it's a bottle of bourbon somewhere, give some time. Google, and figure out what the hell you're doing.
Word.
Or at least identify the large, at least identify pitfalls that could kill you.
And that's the thing. I don't have a problem with the fact that they blew all their life savings and bought this boat.
No, that was a decision. Damn,
man. At least learn how to drive the thing.
Weren't they there for a little bit, though? I mean, I think they had got like the basics of it down, but they were basically docked
for like a year.
Okay. They learned
straight from Colorado.
Nothing.
And sold their stuff.
Okay. They were living.
Yes, sir, not an open sea air.
Word.
So they were living on the boat. I guess on the dock
and didn't bother to learn how to sail it before.
They were ambitious.
Everybody's gonna Google it. I don't know.
They were ambitious.
Rob, you're being way too nice.
What should I do next?
Turn right with
the
tiller.
Should I turn into the wind or away from the wind?
No, I mean,
Twitter poll, 10 minutes.
Huge mistake not to know what you're doing because you're going the potential to kill you, your husband, your wife,
or somebody
else. The pug.
Horrible decision making process. But you know what? I mean, again, Darwin comes into play.
Have they seen Caddyshack? I mean, have you seen the whole boat scene in Caddyshack? Judge Smales' boat gets sunk, right?
Yeah.
Did you know? And I was going to bring this up as an aside, sidebar. You don't have to have a law degree to be a judge in Kentucky. I'm going to change my name to Judge Smales and run for judge.
You don't have to have a law degree to be a lawyer. All you have to do is pass the bar exam.
But I could change my name to Judge Smales.
All you have to do in Kentucky to be a judge is be elected.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll change it and we'll vote
Yes.
And calling yourself, if your name is Judge Smales, I think it would confuse enough Kentuckians.
I love it.
They would vote for you.
Absolutely.
They would probably think you're the incumbent.
So one more thing about the boat before we move on. The fact that it's a $10,000 charge by the state of Florida to pull your boat off the sandbar. It's a recovery.
Really?
They had $90 to their name and their pug, and they now owe the state of Florida $10,000.
Wow.
Did they pack some food on this boat?
They did. It was all sunk.
It was all sunk. It capsized the
boat. I know, but I'm wondering about their ability to sail around, or even just in the Caribbean, if they can't sail the boat, and how big was the boat for the food? I don't think it quite sunk.
It just listed, right?
Yeah.
And it
took on water. And
it capsized. It totally capsized.
Oh, yeah. One thing I will say,
Schadenfreude at this table is so bad.
One thing I will say that Chad pointed out really is that, again, you put not only yourself and the pug, but you put other people in danger trying to save your ass over stupidity. Right. I mean, there's a point at which people are like, you have got to be kidding me. I have to go out and save these white people from themselves.
I don't think that's true.
White people have the worst problems.
We're going to have to edit this out. Jesus.
This happens all the time. People have to go save people from camping, all sorts of stuff.
I think the pug probably should have been driving the boat.
I think the pug should sue for emancipation is what I think.
Oh, that was a good. You could find a lawyer to represent that pug.
Okay, I hope the pug's name is Tim, because the pug is now known as Tim. The pug is Tim.
Free Tim.
The pug is Tim. Nice. I love Tim. The question I really have, though,
and I don't know what's happened to our society, but everybody thinks, you know, once they screw something up, that their GoFundMe is just like...
GoFundMe
and those kind of things are great for helping somebody in need or a cause.
Sure.
Just like... Hey, I screwed up. I started to GoFundMe.
Give
page.
Me more money.
I only need $60,000. 10 to go back to state of Florida and 50 because I want a new boat.
Not because you're dumb. Yeah, pug.
Because I got to start again.
Not because you're pug Tim.
Free Tim. That's a GoFundMe for Tim's lawyer. Tim needs to be emancipated.
I would throw a fin on that.
I think
for $50, you need to get Tim some type of life vest.
Pug Alive.
Floating kennel, I don't know, with a beacon on it.
At least give him a blow inflatable pug life raft.
I can't think the title of this episode is going to be A Pug Named Tim.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
I really think that's the title of this episode. Okay, so real quick, in the last couple of minutes here. So, Winter Olympics, Rob?
I've watched a little bit. I like the snowboarding at this point. I like the figure skating. We haven't got to that. And some of the skiing, but the rest of it isn't for me. I like summer.
People are super salty. Like, apparently the ratings are way down or whatever. We've been watching the hell of it, actually.
I like it. If you get on, we have DirecTV. If you do the 205, which is like the mix, the fourth, if you're lucky enough to get the fourth channel, they play crappy pop music.
Oh, it's terrible.
So then I can listen to crap music, but so then watch in the other screen silently the other things going on.
Wow, I like that.
Johnny Weir's entertaining. They basically brought him out to make that crap watchable. America stinks. I hate Pete Vinson from curling 14 years ago. I hate Schuster worse. American curling is god awful.
It's trash. It's terrible.
It is trash. And
that's terrible. Why they show the skateboarding. That's or the whatever the hell it's called.
Snowboarding.
Same difference.
No,
that's the only thing we win in. That's all we got.
Yeah, I quite like it. I wish it wasn't as bad. I wish there weren't so many screw-ups from the commentators, you know, about how much the South Koreans just love Japan and Katie Couric and the whole, like, all the folks in Netherlands, like, they skate down the rivers to work. Yeah, that kind of stuff's annoying. But I wish they would cover more of the things that I want to see as opposed to just, it just seems to me every time I turn it on, I can't get away from some kind of figure skating when I want to see more skeleton and biathlon and those kind of things.
There was some skeleton on last night. But
see, that's where that DirecTV channel is awesome.
Yeah.
It really, because they just show all the things.
Are we trying to get DirecTV to sponsor us now?
Yes.
That might work out.
Absolutely. Yeah, take it.
Cable's evil.
I'm kind of voting down on the Winter Olympics. One, it's cold. I like curling, but I've never been a fan of it, except what's that from the old ABC sports?
Oh,
dun, dun,
dun, dun, oh yeah, the agony of defeat. And the ski jump.
That's what set me off. Yeah.
Ski jump.
I noticed a ski jump the other day. They have a track in the ski jump now.
They do?
There's no more agony of the defeat. They go straight down like they're on a railroad track, and then it's all about how well they fly. I'm like, where are the wrecks?
You can't screw up.
Yeah, you cannot.
It's a lot harder.
It's a metaphor for today's world. You cannot screw up.
I got one question on this curling. It's like bocce ball on ice. What is the fascination with curling?
No, it's more. It is. But it honestly,
you just answer the question.
Is some chess going on?
No, it's more than that, because there's a lot of strategy.
You can drink.
No, there's strategy.
What I feel is, and for me, when I watch sports, I want to see this something that I cannot do. Yeah. I want to see a high level.
Well, we can't do it.
You can't. I guarantee you. It's more.
I kind of get where Rob's going here. It's like, to me, it doesn't seem like a sport. It's more of like a pub game.
It's a social club where you put on a Disney vest and go ride rides and you get a broom.
Disney vest.
But it's like when we were talking about darts on the last show, right? No. It's like I can't throw darts that well. I can't like turn that stone. I mean, there's ways to throw it. You can't throw it too hard.
No disagreement, I can play darts. There is no way I can hit a slope, jump in the air 35, 40 feet, do some twists, and land.
With the track, you can
half
now.
Of that's gravity.
Yeah, no. I mean, so I feel like there's some skill where this is not and another skill.
I'm going to disagree. That's a bad opinion. I'm going to disagree.
If it didn't take skill, we wouldn't get our ass beat by four damn stones. They're awful. USA is awful.
You ain't lying on that. They're not good.
I like curling, and they're awful.
Yeah.
So we're not getting an endorsement from U.S. curling?
I guess not.
Maybe Canadian curling?
Damn it.
Put that on the list of people I've alienated on this show.
What about the Korean
just
curling?
Just don't speak ill of Beckham.
The North Korean curling.
They do that with landmines.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Okay, well, I just think that killed the conversation.
It did.
It killed it dead. All right, so the last sports topic that I want to talk about is the fact that we are in Kentucky. We're in Lexington, Kentucky. We're all fans of Kentucky basketball, I think. I mean, whatever. And this team is not that great. I think they're going to make the tournament. I think they are.
I feel somewhere around.
Yeah, I think they are at least going to make the NCAA tournament. But I want to talk about something that's interesting that I kind of like thought about is the fact that when the team is bad, it kills the economy here. like just kills it. Like bars and restaurants really, really depend on Kentucky. I mean, yeah, people are like, fans and stuff, it's great. The state's up and the state's down. But honestly, in this area, in Lexington, Kentucky, the economy really,
especially downtown. And that's the great big fallacy of this whole, we're going to build a vibrant downtown. We're going to do this town branch linear park, yada, yada, yada. If we ever lose that lease with the University of Kentucky for Rupp Arena, downtown is dead, 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 dead.
Well, you're right. That's the reason UK just re-signed that lease, because somebody in the mayor's office told them, you will kill us if you do this. Yeah. And I also think this is a culmination of what we've been seeing. People complain about the one-and-dones. I like having the players who can actually play. Yes, I would like to learn their names, but it's all about the national championships.
Sure. Yeah.
And so a lot of people are complaining about that. But we've made money off this, so it works.
Absolutely.
And to your point, but it's not just downtown. It is every sports bar in Lexington.
Right. Yeah. Kind of thing.
Yeah. When Shamrocks, Banners.
When time comes around for Lexington, you got to get there 5, 6, 7 hours early to get a spot.
You ain't lying on that.
Or when games are on, people will go out to go see them. They're spending money on food and beverages. If the team isn't good, we're not going out. We're just going to stay home. So.
And drink our bourbon.
Exactly.
And that's the thing, is many people are like, why would I spend money on this? Why would I do that?
Yeah.
And it's, to Sean's point, so many times people said, oh, I don't like one and dones. I like to get to know my players. I want to know them and see them develop. Well, you don't get a chance because they ain't no good. They are too young. And, I mean, they're all on the boat. They're all trying to get in the right direction. The boat is not going anywhere. We're just trying to get to shore before we sink.
Did he hit a sandbar?
We got four or five guys. Yes.
I capsized with Tim. Tim's driving the boat.
Tim is straggling to the end. Tim had a higher percentage than some of these kids from free throw line. So we've just got to find a way to get this boat to shore and not miss out on the tournament. I know they're not going anywhere. I don't care what seed they are. I know they'll lose in the second game if they get that lucky to get to that game. Let's just get to the end, not break the streak of the NCAA tournaments, and then everybody's going to get their wish, because you're going to get to see a lot of these kids again next year, and we'll get to see, did they finally figure it out?
I don't know about that. I don't know.
Some of them will get run off. I think some of them are going to get sent on their way.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I don't know about run off, because I don't believe that they do that, but I do think there'll be kids that – I think there'll be kids that say, I'm not going to come back. And if that's the case, that will turn a lot of people off to them.
Right, right.
Kid. Because there is no way that any of those kids look tomorrow like they should be going to the league.
Exactly.
There's no way. They will, because it's based on talent and prospect. And some of these kids will even go in the first round.
Yep.
Maybe even Kevin Knox might even squeak in as a late lottery pick.
I feel that there's two players that can go in the first round. Knox and Gilchrist. But the other thing for me on this is, while there's always this undercurrent of the one and dones, and that's just the way it's going to be, when UK is running at peak performance with one and dones, we don't care as much. It's only when we're not succeeding, then it becomes an issue for the fan base. So, you know, we love the one and dones in 2012. We love the one and dones in 2014. They were just the greatest players. They need to go on. But today, oh, these guys can't play. Well, that's not their fault. You know, they're coming in, they're playing.
I don't know about not their fault. I will say that they bear a part of the responsibility. I think that Cal deserves some of the responsibility. I think the coaches deserve I think there's enough blame on this team to go around.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I will say is, in the situation, a significant percentage of this economy in this town is centered around the NCAA tournament, and it's a huge deal.
Absolutely.
And if it doesn't happen,
Absolutely. Two days,
you don't realize it. It's like, and you're out and drinking for 2 days. Yeah.
People take time off, and people plan for it. The SEC tournament, for example.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There was actual talk before they beat Alabama yesterday. There was talk about, were they going to actually play on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've never played on
Wednesday. Well, but I mean, it's like,
we've rarely played on Thursday. And
absolutely.
I mean, everybody, there's a lot of people that go to those tournaments. There would have been nobody there
because
nobody would have thought, I have to take enough time off.
But it was like Rob was saying, like the further this the Kentucky advances in the tournament, that determines how many hours you have to get to the bar. And I've gotten to a bar, I've gotten to Shamrocks 6, 7, 8 hours before a game just to get a table.
So what John was saying, you know, that UK still has the biggest fan base, and they go to all the SEC
tournaments. Oh, absolutely.
UK is playing poorly. What do those ticket sales look like?
Yeah.
What do those revenues look like in those towns?
Yeah. On the first day after they lose?
Yeah.
Well, we went.
It's like a ghost town.
In when the 38-1 season, we were down in Nashville. you know, we went and watched all these other teams play because it's just we like basketball. We paid $5 to get in to go watch Tennessee, Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you we overpaid. Had to pay a premium for UK, but that's fine.
Overpaid.
You overpaid.
Yeah, but at the same time, if UK, if people don't expect them to be there, like we bought our championship tickets right. 2 days in advance knowing right. that we were going to be there.
Right.
I wouldn't go with that kind of confidence right. today, going in saying, let me buy my tickets in advance.
And that's kind of my point. If, yeah. if you're like sure. winning the SEC tournament and you're like, wow, UK is really having a down year, and yay, Tennessee's having a good year, yeah. and but they don't travel. They right. don't bring the
right.
fans.
Right.
They don't book they're, the hotels. Right. They don't spend the money.
Yeah, they're
they don't
not coming like
for
UK.
Football anymore. Yeah, right. So they're not going to travel for basketball. Right. Yeah. So they want UK to be good.
But again, I'm just amazed at how it affects the economy here, because during the Billy Gillespie years, you know, I mean, which we don't want to, we don't talk.
No,
seriously, that we don't talk about. But you know, we were going to the NIT. Like Shamrock, it was killing Shamrocks. I mean, it was absolutely sure. killing them, because you know that place used to be packed, standing room only, table yeah, no, 6-8 hours before. Yeah. And
no, but none of us care about the NIT. I mean, it's lovely, it's great. It's that other tournament.
It's called not invited for a reason.
Yeah,
yeah,
yep. Dude. Okay, the first time we were in the NIT, we went down to a place in town, Pazzo's, and we were like, is there a selection show for the NIT?
And they couldn't even get
and
it.
Like, I don't know. So we Google it, find out there is one, and we're like, can you put it on TV?
They didn't
like,
have the
what
channel.
Do you mean?
They didn't
and
have
like,
a channel.
Apparently, it's on TV, and they're like, we don't even. Get
Pazzo's didn't even have the channel. I mean, they didn't even have the channel. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So hopefully it won't come to that this year, though.
I think John nailed it, though. Even if they do make it, you know, we're thinking maybe 8, but they were not going to make a deep run, and that translates into bad for the economy too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Yeah. So, but you know, I'll just say this: just even if that UK doesn't go out and support your local bars and yeah, things,
sure. just go drink at your local
absolutely. So, Sean, what did you think of the Amador?
I liked it a lot. Like Chad said earlier, very drinkable. I had it neat. It's very sippable. The Duke, I liked it also. I think I liked the Amador better just because the Duke was a little bit more harsher to me than. I'm used to for that proof right now, but that's me. I like the Amador, the Duke.
Yeah, I really like the Amador quite a bit. It's very approachable. It's got that softness, I think, and I think that the aged out and the wine barrels can help that. I like the Duke as well too. I was surprised. It's quite drinkable. It's very light to me. It, mm-hmm. you know, I guess I'm so used to barrel proof stuff that it's quite quaffable.
Amador was 86.8 proof. The Duke is 88. I thought both were good for that proof bourbon. I'm actually surprised at the Amador. It's yeah. I'm not a huge wine fan, but it sort of mitigated the flavors are good. I think the flavors are very good. It's not hot. It's well finished, but it's not too. Some of those things I think are way too winey, and this was not that, and that made me happy.
I thought they were both okay. I liked the Amador a lot better. It's much smoother. Had better flavor. You know, I think the Duke was fine. I think it's more. I'd probably mix that with something. Drinking it straight, you can do. They weren't, neither one were my favorites, but the Amador was definitely better.
I think I totally, and get out of my head, Rob, because that's exactly what I was thinking. I like the Amador. I like them both. I think I like the Amador more. I thought they were both really drinkable, but the Amador just had a little bit more.
Had a little something going for it, I think.
Yeah, it just had a little bit more, on it.
It's good by itself.
Definitely, yeah,
that's
yes.
Much better by itself.
But, you know, I totally agree, Rob. I think the Duke's.
I think it was on sale for $39, which that's is. Yeah, I think regular.
What was the Duke? Do you remember?
Talked about earlier. Liquor Barn had it for $45, which I thought was way overpriced for it. Then Kroger had it for like $29.99, which I thought was more reasonable.
Yeah, the Duke is a $29, and then the Amador, it's like the national price. When I was looking at it earlier, it retails somewhere between $35 and $40 a bottle, and it was on sale for like 30-something.
Okay,
Kroger.
So both, I mean, yeah. Totally, yeah, totally attainable. Yeah. And, of course, the Samoas were delicious.
The Caramel Delights?
Samoas.
Caramel Delights.
Samoas.
Even I had
were
one.
Absolutely delicious, yes. No, but I would agree. I liked both. I agree with you, Rob, that the Duke would be good for like a mixing type yeah. of thing. It was a little bit lighter, I think.
Even though they're under proof.
Neither one was super hot, which I liked.
Yeah.
But I thought the Amador, I liked the Amador, surprisingly. It was really good.
And for me, I feel if you're 45 on bourbon, and I'm thinking it's a good mixer, then it's overpriced.
Yes, absolutely.
So any more bad opinions, opinions?
Free Tim, y'all. Free Tim.
Tim.
Look for that.
Or get him that floatable kennel so he can make it
also,
the next
you're
time.
You're not a good American if you don't go see Black Panther.
I feel that that's a true statement.
All right.
I'm looking forward to seeing that next week.
Okay. John, you got anything?
Well, you ask for bad opinions, that's what you get.
Exactly.
All righty. Well, there you go. So I guess you. That's going to do it.
Boo.
Oh, Jesus. I'm hitting the music. Thank you always for listening to us on this ridiculous show. You can check us out at podcast BABO. bourbonandbadopinions@gmail.com. Instagram, bourbonandbadopinions. And we'll see you next time. All right, cool. Bye.
Later. The two fingers.